Let's head over to the Eastern Connecticut Veterans and Community Center, 47 Crescent Street in Willimantic. And I am joined this morning by Pastor Roger Bolduc, who is now the director of the Eastern Connecticut Veterans Community Center, and also joined by Dan Nato this morning. Folks, good morning. Thank you for joining me for today. Well, Pastor Bolduc, give us a little background on your involvement with the Veterans Center.
Well, a lot of it has to do with kind of circumstances that just played out. I started going to the Veterans Center to help them with the chaplaincy and offer my services there. And then as things kind of morphed a little bit, I ended up taking on more of a role, and then ended up taking over for Diane and trying to do the wonderful job that she's done keeping our veterans going during this time, and also all the things that they are in need of, and started just going into becoming the director, taking over for her.
And for the uninitiated who are not aware of the services provided by the Eastern Connecticut Veterans Community Center, give a little overview, Roger, on what the Veterans Center is all about and what it offers, and we'll get specific as we go along this morning.
Yeah, well, we offer a variety of services for our veterans. We have our biggest event is during the week is our coffee house, which is on Wednesday mornings at 9 o'clock, where we'll get 50, 60 veterans that show up, and they just have a good time to fellowship together and also get information. But also we offer benefits, veteran benefits, help, also health help, nutrition, as well as our commissary, which is our food pantry for the veterans. And we offer medical help when we have Hartford Healthcare come in on occasions once a month, and they come in and do medical evaluations, and which is wonderful. We also have different legislators come in and talk about what's going on. And of course, this month is military, our veterans, military month. So, which is May, but we also offer in-house representation for them, health and wellness. Again, we have business services. We help them, you know, try to find jobs if they need it. We also have our breakfasts with legislators, the commissary, of course, we just talked about. And we visit our vets, you know, when there's a problem or a wellness issue, we will visit them. We have connections for them for suicide issues, PTSD. There's a whole boatload of things that we do to try to help our vets out.
And following up that theme, let me welcome in the former director of the Veterans Center, Diane Nadeau. Good morning, Diane. And as he indicated, May, which starts in 2 days, is National Military Appreciation Month. So you really have tried to put together programs in honor of National Military Appreciation Month. Kind of give the overview of that.
Yeah, so thank you, Wayne, for having us. Most people don't understand what military families go through when someone in their family has decided to serve their country. It is not an easy life. And so this is the time that we not only honor them, thank them for their service, we memorialize those who have fallen, but it's a time for us to reach out to them, to make sure that they understand that they're not alone, and to share their experiences with the general public. Because we don't really think about this. We don't understand that they're every couple of years they have to pack up their belongings and move to another location. So if you're a military spouse and you're a wife, you have to get a new job every 2 years. You've got to pack up a house and set it up every 2 years. Your kids have to go to another school and get on another baseball team and find another piano instructor and make all new friends. So it's really a tough life, and it's important for us to appreciate them, especially now since COVID, we've had such a decrease in people wanting to serve in any of the armed force branches, and those that have left after the sand pit, as they call it, the wars over in Afghanistan, Iran, and Iraq. These younger guys really are not getting the help and services that they need. And they're starting out with families with kids, and so every little bit that we can help them is a plus. So Military Appreciation Month is all of May. It's also a month where we can appreciate our civil servants, so our police and fire and teachers. But for the military, we invite everybody to come down to the center. We've got a couple of exhibits that are up that are really amazing, and you can kind of see and understand what these families go through. I mean, here in Wyndham alone, we have over 1,000, almost 1,100 veterans. I mean, you add in Mansfield with 700 and Coventry with over 800. We've got thousands of people right here in that three-town triangle. You know, and Pastor Roger listed all the services, but really what the Veteran Center is a home away from home. It is a safe environment that veterans can go to. Everyone there understands their experiences and their struggles. Everyone there has probably experienced some of it themselves because most of our volunteers are either veterans or spouses of veterans. So it's a safe environment. They can go to, they can talk about anything, they can share anything that they want to and not be judged, but certainly they will encounter great friendship and fellowship, as Pastor Roger has said.
Roger, talk a bit about what it's like to be in the military and how it affects personal and family life.
Well, some of the things I had just said was, you know, the pay there really stinks. Somebody entering in for the first few years is only making in the $20,000, maybe low $30,000. So if you're married and have children, that's not a lot, especially when you're moving a lot. So the pay stinks, and for most of the time, the families are separated. They're on active duty. They're shipped away someplace, and the family and spouse are left on base. So you have a whole different life on a military base as you would in a regular neighborhood or community. But like I said, it's moving around a lot, changing friends. There's not a lot of steadiness. For the veteran, they go, when they're in active duty and they're in service, they are surrounded by people. They have, you know, hundreds of friends and brothers and people they come to consider family. And they're told what to do. Every part of their day is planned out for them. They're told what to do. And then they get out and they come back into civilian life. And that's really tough. Because now, even if they have a family to come home to, it's not the same as having, you know, 50 guys with you 24/7. And your family doesn't always understand what you did or where you went or your experiences. They're often very, trite is kind of the word, but when you're in a situation that is life and death every second, and not just your life, but the person that might be on the other side of the fence, their life, and deciding whether to take it or not take it. And then you come home and, you know, your wife says, "Oh, honey, the sink is plugged." It's just like, oh my gosh, that is so unimportant compared to the decision-making that they have to make on a daily basis. So most of them come home and they feel lonely, no matter who they're around, because people just don't understand. And it's not the same structured environment. We had a young gentleman come in who was in his mid-30s, and he's married with some kids. And he came to the coffee house, and then he came back the second week, and he said to me, "You know, this is the most amazing thing. I've been out of the service for 6 years. And in those 6 years, this is last week when I was here was the first time I did not feel alone." And that's what keeps Pastor Roger and everyone else there at the center going.
Roger, I got an email here that says, "What are you doing to help foster better relationships with the many veterans who have stopped coming to the Veterans Center on Crescent Street, and some have formed other places to meet in the Willimantic area? What attempts are being made to remedy that?"
Well, I'll make a few comments on that. Like I said at the very beginning, this is a place that is a safe environment. We do not tolerate certain things here at our Veterans Center. We do not tolerate politics in any way. We do not tolerate at all criticism. Everyone there is equal and loved, and we want people to feel comfortable. So some folks who have left because they don't follow our rules or they don't want to follow our rules. It's also a business, so it's our obligation to provide a safe environment and to have rules. So you have to follow those rules. And we find that some folks, especially if they get a little older and are used to, you know, doing things their own way, that they have a hard time following rules. So, you know, not everyone is going to be happy with everything. And that's their choice, and we're glad that there's other places for veterans to go. But we are very proud of what we do there, and the fact that we work very hard in keeping it a politically neutral and pleasant and happy place. So we don't like the behind-the-scenes politics, and we don't like the rumor mill and people who create issues and drama. And that's why our veterans continue to come. This is a therapy for them. This is a peer-to-peer support group. And so all of that other stuff needs to be left out. If there is anybody that has an issue and they would like to continue to come, we are, the door is open at all times for them to come and talk to us. But I think it's important to understand that sometimes it's okay to have people who aren't happy.
Memorial Day coming up. What is the significance of that day to veterans, and what is your organization doing for it?
I'm sorry, I didn't understand, Wayne.
Memorial Day coming up. Tell me what that means to the Eastern Connecticut Veterans Community Center.
So Memorial Day, and this has been an issue with a lot of veterans when they are at the grocery stores or out in the public, and people say, oh, have a great weekend. You know, we're celebrating Memorial Day weekend. And that really irks our veterans, because this is a solemn day. It's a solemn day for them to take a moment and think about those people that they have lost during their duty, their service, or to think about those who they have lost after that. You know, and we lose 350 veterans a day in this country. And Memorial Day is the time for us to stop and think about who those people are and what they went through and how important they were to our freedoms. So it's a solemn day of remembrance, and it's not something to celebrate. And I think that's what we need to remember. It's not just a three-day weekend where you can have a barbecue, you know, and have fun with your friends.
Totally agree. And I think the phrase Happy Memorial Day is certainly politically incorrect on that. I see you take care of the veterans in our cemeteries here in the town. How can people help honor those folks?
Well, we're having our we basically have the grave cleaning, which we do for our veterans, where we clean up the graves. We're doing that on May 10th from 10 a.m. to noon at the New Willimantic Cemetery. A lot of these graves have been they've been run over with different grass or whatever, and it's very important for us to make sure that we honor our veterans by cleaning up these graves and making sure that they are showing that they are clean and that they are honored and that they are respected. So we're doing that. We also do the flags on the veterans' graves for Memorial Day, and we have our non-denominational service for them also, which is going to be May 27th at 8 a.m.
Yeah, so Wayne, I don't think most people know that our public works do a great and wonderful job at our cemeteries, but they're not really allowed to touch any of the graves. So the flat ones that the military folks get oftentimes get covered with dirt and grass. So we go down there and we cut that around the stone so that you can see clearly who they are. And that's really important, because many of these folks, especially if you get to Old Willimantic or some of the North and South Windhams, they don't have family anymore. There's nobody there to go and take care of them. So we feel it's our job to make sure that they're cleaned and that you can clearly see their name and who they were. There's been a couple of them that have been damaged, and we've worked with the VA to get them replaced. But then for Memorial Day, we are not allowed to keep flags and things on each of these flat graves, because the crews need to come in and, you know, mow around and stuff. So every Memorial Day, we try to clean before, and then the Wednesday before Memorial Day weekend, we put flags out, and the Wednesday after, we take the flags and we bring them back in. So if there's anyone out there that would like to help us do that, we'd love to have them. We're meeting at the Veterans Center on Wednesday, the 22nd, I believe it is, before Memorial Day, around 11 o'clock, and you can go with us and help us put the flags on every one of the graves. And then again, we do that in winter with Wreaths Across America. We put the flags down on Veterans Day and pick them back up, and then we put wreaths out at Christmas. So there's three times that we go to the cemeteries in town and honor those veterans.
Let's get down and talk about these individual programs that you have going on at the Eastern Connecticut Veterans Community Center. I know you talked a little early this morning about the coffee house. I was very impressed by the turnout that you've said that you've had, but specifically, what goes on at these coffee houses? What are they like?
Well, I'll take address to the coffee house about 10 years ago, and it has grown over the years. It really is a peer-to-peer support group. Guys come there and just hang out. So it officially starts at 9 o'clock, but a lot of times we have people there at 7:30 or 8. They'll come in and play cards, catch up with each other. But the program itself differs every single week. Sometimes we bring in a speaker from the VA to talk about new veterans programs or some change in one of their rules or regulations. Sometimes we bring in Congressman Courtney or his liaison to talk about things that are happening in the federal level with veteran issues. But a lot of times we just do a history program. The guys, we ask them, we send out a survey. They love to hear about history. So we'll do a program on a particular Medal of Honor winner, or we'll talk about D-Day. We may talk about the Code Talkers and how important that they were. So it's really interesting and historically, and it changes every single week. But for the most part, the guys are there to just hang out with each other and be together. Anybody that new that shows up, they introduce themselves, and we hear a little story about where they served and in what branch of the government. And of course, there's all that rivalry going on where who's better, Army is better than the Navy, who's better than, you know, the Air Force and the Marines, et cetera. So there's all that kind of fun. But it really is a great time. And then immediately following that, since we're doing these, is our commissary that opens there once every Wednesday. You can come on Tuesdays, Wednesdays, or Thursdays, but the best time when we're fully stocked is Wednesdays, and then, of course, the leftovers are there on Thursdays. But the commissary is a food bank for veterans and their families. It is only open to veterans and their families, and we are the only veteran-specific food bank in the state of Connecticut. We work with Connecticut Food Share, so all of the food there is obviously at no cost to our veterans. There is no requirement of income or need. All it is our veterans who eat, and we work with a nurse, Kate Elliott, who is our health and wellness nurse there at the center, and one of her big things is nutrition. So we have the red, yellow, green food. So the, and I'm sure you can figure that one out, Wayne. The green is the good stuff, and the red is the bad stuff. So we spend a lot of money and look for donations for our food bank. And this weekend, there is the Walk Against Hunger with Connecticut Food Share that we hope to raise some money, because the good stuff, of course, is what costs the most. We have fresh fruits, fresh vegetables. We have meats. We have dairy products, fresh dairy products like milk and eggs. Those are the things that our veterans, when their budget is tight, they tend to not be able to buy as much of, and they go back to the rice-a-roni or macaroni and cheese, which happens to be more on the red list than on the green list. So
that's for veterans only also, right?
Excuse me?
That's for veterans only?
It's for veterans and their families only, yes. Yep.
You talked about people like Congressman Courtney coming in, but you also have in-house VA representatives. What are some of those programs like?
So we are so unique in the state of Connecticut. If you were a veteran and you needed to sit down with the VA, you would have to go to West Haven or Newington or Rocky Hill in order to speak with them. So for many of our veterans out here, they're older, they have transportation problems and can't get there. So we have brought the VA out to them. And once a week, again, we try to put everything on Wednesday because that's when a lot of the guys are there for the coffee house. But they can come and meet with a representative from Connecticut VA Healthcare. They can change appointments, ask about medical records, set up appointments, talk about, you know, long-term care or home care services and what the VA will pay for or not pay for. But then we also have a representative that comes there from the benefit side, the Connecticut Department of Veteran Affairs, and they can help them do an application for compensation. So if they were injured due to their service, they can help them apply for a compensation package. They can also talk to them about their benefits, help them get into school, for example, or talk about VA mortgages, anything to deal on the benefit side, that person is there. What's really unique is they can go right into their computers right that very moment and figure out stuff. They have like having the VA right there in our building, which is amazing. So a veteran that walks in and says, I need a copy of my DD-214, they can oftentimes just print it out right there for them immediately. So these folks are amazing with how they can help veterans in a way that nobody other than the VA can. And like I said, transportation is a huge problem. And making these appointments with the VA and getting a hold of them on the phone, you know, the guys will laugh that they will call and go round and round and round, get transferred 100 times. But now you can just come in and get your questions answered immediately, and they can help you fill out all kinds of forms and stuff. So that was an amazing accomplishment that happened back under the previous director who really put a focus on community outreach. So we're happy to have them there.
Do you have an approximate breakdown of the veterans that you have at the Eastern Connecticut Veterans Center? By that, I mean, are we talking Iraq, Afghanistan, but going back maybe to Korea, and I don't know if we still have people from World War II around, but what is the breakdown as far as how many people from each generation that you have coming to the Veterans Center?
I don't have specific numbers, but I can tell you that we had two World War II veterans. Both of them have relocated, but they stay in touch with us, and they often will Zoom in or call in to the program. One is in Maine and one is in Florida. They moved to be closer to their families. We have about six of the Korean War, the Forgotten War veterans. Of course, they're in their late 80s and early 90s. The majority of our coffee house are Vietnam era. And they're from their late 60s up until, you know, 80s, but that's our largest majority. We probably have on a regular basis that comes about 12 people who are Iraq, Afghanistan, and post 9/11 veterans. But we don't see a lot of those because they're younger and they have families, and honestly, they're still working. So our coffee house is during the week at 9 o'clock to 11. So most of those guys are still working jobs. We tried to do an evening coffee house a couple of years ago, and we found out that they're just as busy in the evening because they're taking their kids to baseball, soccer, football, you know, piano lessons and things. So they're really hard to provide a time for because their lives are so busy. But if they need, they can pop in at any time, which is what we see is they are quick hitters. They pop in, or we do a lot of over-the-phone conferencing with them.
What are some of the business services that the Veterans Center provides?
So some of our veterans, when they get out, many of them have PTSD, and some of it is very severe PTSD, which limits their ability to hold a quote-unquote normal full-time job of working 9 to 5 Monday through Friday. And if they have any medical issues, then they're in and out of the VA doctor appointments. So one thing that we do, and which has been amazing, is let them know that they can start their own company, and then they can work in the hours and the pace that it's appropriate. So we see a lot of them go into the trades and become contractors. And this is actually how our coffee house started, with a group of veterans who were contractors coming to some workshops. So we help them start their own business. We go through the process with the state and the federal government, get them all set up, and then we can connect them with some assistance, like the Small Business Development Center, the SBA, the Women's Business Development Council, SCORE, for example. And then, of course, if they want to come in and get some one-on-one mentoring, we can provide that for them. And we oftentimes will put on workshops. Now, since COVID, everything is done via Zoom. And if you wanted to work with SCORE, most of your working is going to be done online in Zoom. So if our veterans don't find that to be an effective way of learning, then they can come in and we can work with them one-on-one, or we do some in-house workshops, professional development workshops, or we can bring in a different agency that can talk about insurance and why they need to have it and the different kinds of insurance and things like that. So if they want to start a business, or if they're already in business and they need to help market the business, then they can come see us and we'll help them.
Tell me about Visit Our Vets, Love Our Vets, and Connect Our Vets.
Well, I know that Pastor Roger talked about the visits, but I will chat in about the Connect Our Vets. A couple of years ago, one of the social workers from the VA who deals with folks in the community, they're living in the community, but they have a lot of issues, and many of them have no transportation and are stuck in their houses. So that, and especially during COVID, it was horrible. They weren't able they're still not able to talk to their families or apply for things online. They can't afford to have internet. So we worked with Verizon Wireless in North Windham, and they donated about 10 iPads to us, of which we then turned over to the social workers. So she was able to give those iPads to her basically homebound veterans that had some severe issues, and they were able to go online and do therapy with their therapist. They were able to apply for jobs. They were able to do workshops and training sessions with the little iPads because they weren't really able to get in and out of their house, especially because of transportation needs. But that was a way to connect them with their family, friends, and a job market.
Talk about the Liberty program. And by the way, for the radio audience, that is LIBERTEA. The Liberty program this month, which is about folks who grew up without their dads because they died in battle when they were little kids.
So inside of our facility is the America Museum. The America Museum is throughout the building, and there are exhibits everywhere that are military related. So we have something on the Puerto Rican Borqueneers. We have the Tuskegee Airmen. We have the Code Talkers. We have women in the military. And then we are so fortunate to have working for us is Bev York, which is a local historian. She's a local historian. She's amazing. What that woman has in her head, we have to figure out a way to get it down on paper because she just knows so much. But every month she puts in a program called Liberty. And Liberty, the name goes back to the Boston Tea Party. We didn't like the tea coming from England, so we tossed it all overboard. And then the colonists here, they took herbs and made a tea out of herb because, of course, they still needed their tea. But that's where the name comes from. She puts on a program every month. This month, she is doing a special program where she's interviewed a bunch of veterans a bunch of people whose father was in the military and died when they were very, very young. So they grew up not knowing who their patriotic and heroic father was. The interviews are really amazing, and it's a wonderful program, and it's open to the public. I think it's the second Thursday at 5, and then we do a second program. She comes and does it for the veterans the next Wednesday at the coffee house. But we skipped over something that I just wanted to mention real quick. The Visit Our Veterans, I'm going to let Pastor talk about that because he does a tremendous job of outreaching to them.
Visiting our vets, I'm working with trying to find any of the vets that are homebound, or they can't get out, or whatever it's going on. Maybe they're sick, or maybe sometimes people just need a wellness check. So we try to find where they are and who they are, and then work on getting one of us to go out there, sometimes me as a pastor, or also going out there to check on their spiritual. But just making sure that they're okay, making sure that they're doing okay. We have veterans that are suffering from major illnesses that we just need to check and make sure that they know that they're still cared about. We also have the Love Our Vets part of it is where we go out and we just had just a couple weeks ago where a veteran needed a scooter, and we found a scooter, somebody that had passed away. They had a scooter and they wanted to give it to a veteran. And so we were able to put the two together, went down, picked it up, brought it over to the veterans, worked with him on how to run it and everything else. And he got a scooter for nothing because it was something he needed. He couldn't get around. All he really wanted to do was get out to get his mail. And he needed a scooter to get out there to get his mail. And now he has one. So we have that. We get a lot of medical supplies that if a veteran needs medical crutches or a walker or anything like that, we can get that to them and make sure that they have whatever they need. We work with the, again, just making sure that they have clothes. We work with our church right now where people can go in and get clothes as a veteran and make sure that they, with our big thrifty shop, we help our veterans by giving them what we call thrifty bucks, and they can go down and get clothes for free and when they need it. So there's a lot of things that we do to try to help them through this whole aspect of their lives because, like Diane said, they're getting older and they're coming down with issues in their life now, not just becoming old, but also with Agent Orange and all the other stuff that they've suffered through. So we get them all those things. We can work on getting them help with their with wheelchairs and all these things that we help them to do and get.
Roger, I think I can speak for the veterans and for the communities, although full disclosure, I'm not a veteran, that we thank you for the job you're doing with the Eastern Connecticut Veterans Community Center as the director. But some veterans feel since you are a non-veteran, you don't grasp some of their issues. So how can you remedy that situation? What are some of the things you've tried to do to put yourself in their shoes?
Well, the biggest...
I'm gonna just say no. Both Roger and I, neither one of us are veterans, but you don't always have to be a veteran to understand some of the issues that they have. But the most important thing is that we listen and we are able to connect them with the right people. The center is open, you know, generally Monday through Friday, 9 to 5, and the people that we have there volunteering are veterans, most of them. If that person, the coffee house is there with, you know, 70 veterans a week that they can come in and talk to. I think it's unfair to say that somebody who's not a veteran can't help them set up a company or set up a business or can't understand that they have an issue and connect them with the right people. Peer-to-peer counseling, we've set up those programs, and it's possible that anybody that wants to talk with another veteran about their issues and concerns can come in and do that one-to-one. But we find it's really not a problem. It's not a problem at all to understand and to listen and to hear them tell us what they need and then get those things for them.
Roger, did you want to add something to that?
Yeah, for me, my father was a veteran. He was in the Korean War. And my cousin was also a veteran and... or is still a veteran. He's alive. But my cousin's son was in, did tours of Afghanistan and also Iraq. So I do hear stories from them. But my father was the biggest one, and he suffered through what they had was he wasn't going to be able to get military honors because it was the Korean conflict. And so with that problem, I really got interested in the veterans and how I can help the veterans because my other cousin had to go through a lot of stuff to get my father those honors. So it's very dear to me to be able to help a veteran to know that they are cared about when after my father was kind of left by the roadside. So for me, it's more about, like Diane said, it's more about listening. I have so many people that sometimes I can't even get my work done because they come in and they just want to talk. They just want to be a friend and or have a friend. So there's so many things that we offer as a non-veteran, and we should be giving back to our veterans. They gave their time and offered up their life for us. And as non-veterans, we should be giving back to them. And that's where my heart is to give back to these guys and the women that have offered their life for us, even though they may have not given it in full, but they suffer and all that stuff is happening. And this is a way for me to be able to give back to them and offer the honor that they are due.
Well said, and a good way to wrap up today's program. That's Pastor Roger Bolduc, the director of the Eastern Connecticut Veterans Community Center, and the former director, Diane Nadeau. Thank you for both of you for joining us this morning.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us, Wayne. We appreciate it.